Right, let's call us all to attention. Before we go any further, I'd just like to welcome Louise, who we appointed at our last extraordinary council meeting. So I hope you find it useful and informative, and you're in for the full 4 years. So hang on in there. Okay, so first item on the agenda is apologies.
I think we're going to, I think Tim and Mark wanted to have a few words about John first.
Fine.
Okay.
Yep. Okay, we'll go on to that first. I'm going to hand over to Councillor Tim Dunfer to say a few words.
If my mic responds to that going on. Yes, we wanted to welcome this evening Judith Anthony, who is the wife of John Colby, who was for many years our Set Line Rail User Group representative with our Transport Partnership. Unfortunately, we have very recently lost John, and Judith wanted in particular to make sure we at the council were aware. And she told us quite a lot, and I was very privileged personally to work with John. We worked on a number of projects, but there was a long-running project about the integrated transport interchange, more of which later on in the evening. But John was very much an advocate of that, and we were trying, and still are trying, to develop now. John had, before he came to Exmouth, John had a long and senior local government career. He was involved in planning, and in fact was in planning in Blackpool, and later on went as chief planning officer to the Royal Borough of Windsor and Maidenhead. And Judith tells me, because I didn't hear this from John himself, but Judith tells me that he was there in Windsor and Maidenhead when Windsor Castle had its big fire a number of years ago, which of course brought national and international attention to that area and that Royal Borough. He was also involved in a major public transport campaign, you might say, in Blackpool, when he in fact was instrumental in getting a 5,000 vehicle coach park open, and also had a life-size gorilla, I believe, just outside Blackpool Tower. So that's something to put on his CV. But John, you know, nearer home, John's been a great help, and with his colleague Tony Jackson by his side, he has served Alrug and Exmouth Town Council very well. And we shall certainly miss John, and RIP, please. And thank you, Judith, for coming and seeing us tonight.
Well, I am John, wherever he is, wish you all well in all the endeavours you make for the town, and all the good things you seek to achieve.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Judith. And I think Councillor Mark Williamson would also, was my predecessor in the Chair of Transport Post. Mark, you worked considerably with John, I know.
I did indeed, Tim, and thank you very much for inviting me to just say a brief word. I do appreciate that. John was one of those individuals who brought to this council so much professional expertise from their own background, their professional background, that enriched and informed our own work. And without such people as John and Judith, we would be a poorer council, and we would not be able to make such good, sound and informed decisions. I shall miss John hugely. He was a great contributor, a stalwart member of Exmouth Transport Partnership, which, as Tim has said, continues to be doing such a great job for our tourist town. And the integrated transport network is something which we will continue to work on, and will be spurred on even more so in John's memory. I'd just like to add, Tim, if I may, a Chairman, a very brief lighter note on this. We've all at times stood outside polling stations on cold, wet days, counting, enumerating, doing whatever we were supposed to do. I was never quite sure, to be honest, what we were supposed to be doing. There we are. And whenever I saw John and Judith coming from the lovely house and chapter close to Bethlehem Village Hall, it gave me great joy because an hour later I would have learned so much from the two of them. We will miss John hugely. And thank you, Judith, for coming this evening.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you. And will you forgive us if we sneak away now and leave you to your very important discussions? Well, thank you. It's nice to hear the kind words. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Judith. Thank you all.
Thank you very much for coming in, and thank you both, Tim and Mark, for your kind words. And I didn't know John very well, but I'm knowing how important the Alrath group is, and certainly I know that the Exmouth Gateway, as it's now known, the transport interchange, has been a long-held ambition of many on this council. So we'll move on to item one. Do we have any apologies for absences?
We do indeed. I've got apologies from Councillor Angela Boatwright, Councillor Andrew Coleman, Councillor Nick Hookway, Councillor Mike Rosser, and Councillor Alex Sadiq.
Okay, thank you. I'm doing a double take. Sure, I saw
Andrew. Andrew Coleman. Coleman.
Sorry, get my surnames mixed up. Yes. Good. Do we have any public speakers?
No.
Not tonight. Okay. So if we just do the council meetings and perhaps declarations at item 5, and then we can make Graham item 6. Does that sound okay? Yep. Okay, so council meeting minutes. Is everybody happy with the minutes of the last meetings? If everybody is in favour, please show by raising your hand. Did you have a comment?
Well, no, I was going to propose it. I thought we had to second it.
We do. Yeah, we need a proposer and a seconder.
It's gone to my head, this chair here. Thank you, Pauline. Pauline proposed. Did we have a seconder? Councillor Whipley. So Councillor Scott proposed, Councillor Whipley seconded. Thank you.
And now you need to put it to
and now
vote.
We can all vote in favour. We'll get there. Okay. Right. Matters arising.
There are no minutes. Matters arising from those minutes.
Okay. Declarations of interest. Do we have any declarations of interest? Councillor Scott.
I might have to declare an interest if the lifeboat is mentioned tonight.
Okay, I can note that, that's fine.
Any others? No? Good. Item 5, to resolve the press and public be excluded from the meeting. Don't think we have any items for that. So I'm proposing to move item 7 up to item 6, which is a report from our harbour master, Graham Forshaw, which took Councillor Cagle to spot what an appropriate name that was, because the spelling didn't immediately ring a bell, but as soon as you hear it, it does seem extremely appropriate. So welcome, Graham, and do please let us know.
Thank you, Chair. That's very good of you. It's nice to be here, everybody. It's nice to come and speak to such a body of folk as yourselves, because I, you know, as harbour master for the River Exe, Exmouth is right on our doorstep, and I believe it's a great thing to come and liaise and to communicate with you folks about what we're doing in the river, because I'm sure you're asked as councillors, you know, what's the Port Authority up to? I'm sure you must do. So this is a good opportunity for me to let you know where we are, what we're doing, and how things are going. So, for those who don't know, our port limits stretched right the way down from the city all the way down the river to a mile out to sea to the Safe Water Mosque, which is a good mile and a quarter off the beach. And if you look at Straight Point and Langston Rock on the other side of the river, that north is our port limit. So it's quite a stretch of water. And it's one of those, we're all victims of a quirk of fate that in the dim and distant past, when commercial shipping was a much more lively activity in the river, it was a greater conflagration of ideas. But now, of course, Exeter City Council responsible for all of the water, and we have 40 odd navigation aids in the river, which do take a lot of looking after and a lot of expense. And the City Council have employed me and a team of five other folks down in the Boy Store in Camperdown Terrace, and I also look after the Exeter Ship Canal as well. So it's quite a big area, that, or 11 miles of sea, if you like, that we have to liaise with. But it's one of the complications, and this is where the quirk of time has hit us all, is that Exeter City Council own all the water, but we don't own any of the land, which makes things difficult for us when it comes to raising things like revenue and things like that to manage the waterway. So one of the complications as well is that for a number of years there was no harbour master in place. The previous harbour master retired some years ago, and he wasn't replaced because at that time it was best thought that the harbour should go the council could possibly turn the port into a trust port rather than a municipal port, so that the port could be self-funding and look after itself with a dowry from the City Council and just really get on with it and manage its own affairs. But of course everybody realises that was never going to work, because there just isn't the kind of infrastructure in place to make the harbour or let the harbour develop and pay for itself. So after a public inquiry, City Council were told, sorry, but it's your waterway, and so you manage it. And that's when I was appointed with my team of people, and we're slowly getting to grips with the situation and making things a little bit better. One of the things that we're looking to do in the near future is go through the same process again of a harbour revision order, and we need to do that because the City Council some years ago, back in 2013, decided and agreed at Council that they would be compliant with what is known as the Port Marine Safety Code. And the Port Marine Safety Code is the industry standard way, if you like, of how ports and harbours need to be managed in terms of safety management systems, emergency plans, all of that sort of stuff. It's a big, big piece of work. Currently, the City Council are not compliant with the Port Marine Safety Code for one very simple reason, is that we don't have the powers of special and general direction. What we have are a list of half a dozen bylaws which were agreed back in 1976, which are far outdated now when it comes to things like speeding, for example, or the kind of boats that come into the river. We all know about these whizzy things these days look like an ironing board with an engine underneath. Back in 1976, that was all science fiction type stuff. But what the current bylaws, don't allow us to do is to regulate the use of pieces of equipment like that, personal watercraft, for example. And these things are classed as personal watercraft. The government have been slow to catch up. But now there is the Personal Watercraft Act, which came in March of 2023, which means that operators of jet skis or other kinds of personal watercraft acting recklessly and endangering property and or people's lives, they can now be prosecuted, because prior to March of this year, they weren't, those kind of vessels weren't classed as ships, because it was proved that, or it was very difficult to prove that they were involved actively in navigation. But now they are classed as vessels in their own right, so operators of those things acting recklessly or dangerously can be prosecuted. One of the things that the City Council is doing is providing my patrol team with body cams, because it's, as you'd appreciate, gathering evidence on the water is quite a difficult thing to do. So the use of body cams is going to help with that. The patrollers that we have a team of four patrollers, and that's only just one of their jobs. You know, we have a myriad of jobs that our patrolling team need to do. Servicing all the navigation aids, we have a commercial side to what we do, and we service customs moorings, as well as doing all the patrol work. But we have, and this is the sales pitch, we have a team of willing volunteers that come and augment our patrols. So, open invitation, if anybody feels like coming and spending a couple of days out on the water every month with us, you're more than welcome. There's a training package that we put you through, make sure that you can float and all that sort of stuff. But it's a good way of getting to see what actually goes on out there on the water. Busy stretch of water, as I said, it's 11 miles long that we look after. But one of the things that I think is a shame is that more people in the locality don't understand what's going on out there and just how difficult and how dangerous a place it can be, and particularly in the approaches to the River Exe, where with global warming, sea levels are going to rise within 50 years, it's going to be up to a metre higher. And already we have a very strong tidal stream just off the seafront there. On Christmas Day, for example, when the Christmas Day swim was on, we were at half tide, and so therefore that is when the water is moving at its quickest. And we had nearly 5 knots of moving water off the seafront on Christmas Day, when about 5,000 people were jumping in. So it's and with rising sea levels, the speed of that water is only going to increase. So it's great for, it would be really good if people had more awareness of what it's like out there. And I strongly recommend it. And one of the things that we're doing with the patrol team is we're encouraging city councillors to come and have a look at the water, because they're responsible for it. And the safety management system as part of the Port Marine Safety Code, if things go horribly wrong, then it's the councillors that have to take responsibility for it. It's my job to make sure they're best advised as to strategy and all that sort of stuff. But it's the city councillors ultimately that are responsible. Some of the good things that's happened in more recent times, the town council and East Devon very kindly put together and paid for the no powered craft zone buoys off the seafront, which has been a huge success. The patrol team that's been working in the last 4 years, we're slowly starting to build up that rapport now. So local people know who we are and what we're about. We've just changed our patrol boat, which you kindly put your hand in your pocket to help us out with as well. Thank you for that. And that's doing great guns, and we've recently changed that to a newer boat so we can react quicker to what is going on the water. And by and large, the local people, the local boat owners that we might have had a bit of bother with in more recent years, they're slowly coming around to our way of thinking and starting to stick to the rules, which is a good thing. It's not quite the same when the Birmingham Navy come down and they all go to sea and that they take a little bit more education, but we're getting there. Other things that's happening in the river, I mentioned before about global warming. We've just had some survey work, because we have the approaches surveyed every year, but we've also had some more survey work done inside the river to work out what's happening with the sandbanks and the mudflats and all that sort of stuff. We're never going to tame it. It's always going to be a movable feast. It's always going to happen naturally, that turn and twist of the river. But we're monitoring it more closely to see if we can build up a picture of a trends, which will help us, because you'll appreciate when the river alters direction, we have to move the buoyage that indicates where the river is. So if we can get a mean average or get some kind of formula of how things are looking, then that's going to help us enormously. Mentioned before about the Harbour Revision Order. Where we are at the moment is that the initial application to the Marine Management Organisation is about to go through via Ashford's, our solicitors, and there will be, and as part of that process, which could take up to 3 years to fruition, one of the things you're bound to be asked, because I'm asked all the time, is, I mentioned before that it takes a lot of money to keep that river going, and currently nobody's paying any harbour dues. So lots of times I'm asked the question, well, how much am I going to have to pay? If you, the council, go through this harbour revision order process, how much is it going to cost me? Well, the answer is, I don't know, because what the harbour revision order process will allow us to do is make a charge, levy a fee for the use of the water. Currently, nobody's paying, but the city council are paying an awful lot, the taxpayer are paying an awful lot for the management of the river. So what we might, or what the city council might decide, is to invite people to pay a contribution towards the cost of running the river. None of those sorts of figures have been arrived at yet. It's not even been muted. It's been a political decision to decide to levy a fee or not. And the scale of fees, nobody's dreamt one up yet. Because everybody realises that it's not the best saving water in the country. It's not like Dartmouth or Salcombe or anywhere like that. It's the River Exe. It's a riverine. It's a river delta. It's shoaling. Very limited facilities. Everybody understands that. So nobody's going to be charging rock star prices. Just ain't going to work like that. But people might be invited to make a contribution in some way, shape, or form. That's just about all that I've got for you. I'm quite happy to answer any questions that anybody might have about the way we're going and how we're going about it. Yes?
Good evening. Thank you for an interesting talk. Where, just as a matter of interest, where do the mooring fees, do they go to Exeter City Council?
No. The mooring fees go to the mooring association that rents that bit of ground from the Crown. So the River Exe is quite a complicated area in that the lower part of the Exe, the round here, for example, so the Lower Exe Moorings Association manage that area of land, and they have a lease from East Devon, who in turn lease it from the Crown. So the Crown own the land, lease it to East Devon sublet it to the Lower Exe Moorings Association. What we do is, as a commercial arm, is we will service those moorings on behalf of customers. But we don't get a mooring fee.
And you charge for that service?
We do charge, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Brian. You asked the question I was going to ask. Maddie.
Thank you, Mayor. Nice to see you again. There's been a lot on social media about youths getting on some of the yachts that are moored.
Yes.
Can you tell us what's happening and what's been done about it, please?
When we see it, then obviously we'll go and tackle them, challenge them, and invite them to leave. It's quite difficult in the what's called the O2 area, which is just off Shelly Beach. It's difficult because obviously it dries out, and kids being kids will be inquisitive and want to go and have a look around boats, not always for the right reasons. But we do challenge them, and we do challenge that behaviour, and we do speak with colleagues at East Devon about it on a regular basis. But if we see it, we'll challenge it.
Okay. Has it increased recently?
It has increased. And what has also got slightly worse is kids jumping off the end of the entrance to the marina. And the police have been called out a number of times. Now, that's marina land or Eagle One land. It's not our land. But we're working with the marina manager. When our team go out on patrol, and we see that sort of antisocial behaviour, we do challenge it.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Maddie. Steve, Councillor Gazzard, you have a question.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, nice to see you back again, Graham. Just following on from Maddie, because I was going to ask a question similar, but if you're talking to the marina manager, is there any possibility that they may look at get some CCTV? Because obviously we've got information to back up about jet skiers early on, and in the review that the government are undertaking, is there any discussion taken or has taken place about whether or not there should be a licence available for jet skiers and people with smaller boats to take up?
There is, as part of a national initiative, there is the Personal Watercraft Partnership, which is being led by the Royal Yachting Association. And that Personal Watercraft Partnership is all about education, sort of about data tags. A data tag is a small piece of equipment that sends a satellite signal off and all that sort of stuff. It's all, you know, much the same as a GPS does in somebody's car, and vice versa, like an automatic identification system. Where we are, as a port authority, once we have the right powers of special and general direction, we can insist on certain things. One of the things that we could insist on is that people have a data tag on their machine so that we can see where they are, what speed they're doing, and also have a record of who owns the machine. We can also get into zoning if we so wanted, to restrict them being used in certain areas. And it's quite complicated in Exmouth because, of course, you've got the Imperial, you've got Shelley, you've got so many places where you can access the water, which we as a city council don't control. East Devon do, of course, but they choose not to control access points onto the river, neither do Teignbridge. So it's quite a complicated thing. But once we have those powers of special and general direction, we can start to change things. All with the right public consultation in the way as well.
Councillor Bailey again.
Thank you, Ollie. Would it be an advantage for you to have the power of arrest? Because you try to dissuade people from doing things, but I'm just thinking, I know Bristol is a very large port, but they've got their own police. So one would imagine the legislation would be there for you to select some of your staff to train as police, so you would have to do something about it.
Well, to have the power to arrest, you've got to have a warrant to do that. And I think that's a very, very complicated thing. I don't think we're ever going to do that, if I'm honest with you. But we do have, and we have, there is a marine police unit, and our nearest marine police officer is in Falmouth, and he is coming to see us, and he has all that, so when we take him out on the water, he'll see what's going on, and he can deal with all that sort of stuff. The civil police here, you know, if we call them and let them know there is a problem, they can take appropriate action. But I don't think we would want to get into the business of arresting people. It just wouldn't work. I don't think we could anyway.
Okay, thank you.
Can I just ask if you could give us an update on the swim buoys?
Oh, yes.
Because the agenda item was tabled that you might be looking for some funding for some swim buoys, but
yes.
I think you've got some updates on that, haven't
you? Yeah, thank you, Lisa. Yeah. I forgot about that. Yes, well, one of the things that we've been looking at, particularly with wild swimming or free swimming off the seafront, is making a zoned-off area for swimmers to use. And we've got a price for all that, and we've thought about putting a line of buoyage in, but it's not quite as straightforward as it first appears, because of course that bit of beach where we were thinking about putting some buoys in, that's a landing ground, for want of a better expression, for the new lifeboat. So when the lifeboat comes in, has to beach for whatever reason to get back into the shed, where it's put onto its trailer and go back into the shed. That bit of beach is the bit of ground that they would aim for. And so it might complicate things if there's a load of buoys in the way. So I'm going to speak with the lifeboat operations manager to see what can be done. So that's an ongoing discussion.
Okay, thank you, Graham. Okay, Brian, this is your last shot to make it a good one.
I will, thank you very much.
You'll need to come back.
I'm sure you're aware that the area that you're talking about is the overflow for the local sewage works when we have sufficient rainfall. So I would that's not the place to suggest people do wild swimming.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Can I just mention again, so on the agenda, it's tabled that we consider a request for financial contribution towards the cost of the boys, and Fred has just asked if we've got a price for them. But how do you want to manage that, Graham? Do you want to come back to me when you've established where or whether the boys are going to go in?
If I might do that.
Yeah. With some costings?
Yes.
So that we can then ratify a decision to contribute towards those. Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Thank
Thanks
you.
Very much, Greg. Just used to be called swimming when I was a kid. Swimming in the sea was just what you did, or whatever. Anyway, thanks ever so much for coming, and we'll let you go now.
Thank you very much
indeed. Unless you want to stay. And
that's quite all right.
you can stay for the next item if you like, which is going to be Councillor Richard Scott, so I'll hand over to Richard in a moment.
Well, it's nice to see you all.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy the rest of your meeting.
And thanks for that very useful update. So, good to know how it all works. Thank you. I did visit the Coast Watch on Sunday. Just to echo what Graham was saying there, but they also said you wouldn't believe some of the behaviour that they observed and the levels of stupidity that they observe from that tower. So if anybody fancies joining the Coast Watch, all going out on Graham's boat, guaranteed some entertainment, I should think. Okay, over to Richard. Thanks very much for coming, Richard, and we'll look forward to your report.
Yeah, no problem. I don't have a report for you. I can take questions, and thank you for changing my item to the top of the agenda, because I've got a lot of work still to do tonight. So any questions, happy to take.
Sure. Well, I did send round a district councillor's report earlier tonight, but it didn't get circulated because I left it too late. But one of the things on it was the number of calls I'm getting about the residence parking scheme. Mm-hmm. And it's now, I'm still getting from people, how on earth was this implemented? I took part in the survey. We all said no. How on earth did it get passed? But I think we've moved beyond that, and people are now saying, I've had two inquiries. Can I get a permit for a street I don't live in? I was fairly sure the answer to that was no. And the other one was, can I get a permit for a car I don't own, which was a lady's son wanted to visit her. But in both cases, the problem was communications. They'd been given, I think, an email address, at DCC, and didn't seem to be able to get anywhere by phone either. So I think you almost need a dedicated helpline for that residence parking scheme or something, because I'm getting quite a lot of questions about practicalities now.
Two more questions, I'll come back to more.
Aurora.
Thank you, Chair. Nice to see you, Richard. It's just to do with the levelling up. Is this appropriate to speak now about it? Is that all right? I just got to think about it.
Sure.
As you know, we've got a consultation on Thursday at the Leisure Centre to do with the levelling up. My question, Richard, is every time I see anything to do with the levelling up, I know you're the lead thing on it, Devon County is the lead, whatever you call it, on it. But I think that with the advertising, you've got the advertising online which says funded by the UK government, Devon County, and the other person, what's on there. I believe that because Exmouth Town Council and East Devon District Council, we put in 400,000 each on this scheme, and I was led to believe that all of us together has made the levelling up. I may be wrong. I feel that as an Exmouth Town Councillor, for the members of Exmouth, the public should see that we are contributing to this levelling up and that we should be on the advertisement for all this. along with East Devon District Council. I know you're the leader on it, I understand how it works, but I believe that the members of the public would see the advertising with us on there and East Devon District Council, and I believe we should all be on it because we're all in it together. £400,000 is a lot of money to come out of Exmouth Town, and I believe we should be on there along with Devon County and the government and everybody else, because it's a big scheme. I think it's exciting. You know, we're having it spent on Exmouth, so I think Exmouth Town Council and East Devon District Council should be on the advertising. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Richard.
Thanks, Aurora. I'll just say Thursday is not consultation. It's an exhibition about the proposals. The consultation is online, and if you check the East Devon Residents newsletter, which I think Lisa forwarded earlier today, there's a link to the consultation. I've already done it, but I shall probably do it with other hats on as well. But it may be good to get a town council response as well. That's a good point.
I just wanted to ask Richard, when is the Dinan Whaling Road going to be started?
Thank you, Chair. Well, first of all, can I give yourself and Geoff Trail a vote of thanks for the work that you've done on Morton Road. It's nice to have a nice road out there and potholes in. But my question leads on from there. Have you any idea, please, when the pumps will be put back in? Because most of the 20 mile an hour signs have come apart because of the strong winds that we had. But mostly it was just to put on record my thanks for the efforts that you made on Morfield Road.
I think I'll have to make a point of cycling up there, Steve, just to enjoy that, because there's a few other roads I cycle along that don't meet the same standard, I must say. Any more questions for Richard before I hand over to Tim?
Yeah, as Richard knows, I attended a hat hoc meeting with my East Devon District Council hat on the other day, and Richard's colleague, Jeff Trail, asked a question of the officer there about the implementation of the residence parking. And it was useful, actually, just to let you know, Richard, you may already have realised, but the letters have now started dropping on people's doormats. So some information is there, but as has been said already, there are a number of features that I think we would like either you or you to direct us to somewhere where we can get the information very quickly. I know that's always a problem, and staffing a county is not always easy, but if you can help us on that, that would be useful. Thank you.
Okay. Questions? Over to you, Richard.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'll take reverse order. Yes, you are aware of that meeting, the date slipped, which Geoff didn't make it clear, it's not acceptable. The governance review that we're taking is taking place in County Council today. This was part of the conversation in terms of how we make things work. And that's if advertised dates are sent out and they get stuck to. It's not good enough for residents. In terms of the links, I'll send them to Lisa later on. So there are links to all the hard top decision making, there's links to the overall scheme, there's all the maps, so you can see it. The only thing I would say, on a small screen, it's an A3 size document, so it's quite a bit of scanning left and right. But I would recommend, Geoff and I have got them on A1 documents, because it makes it a lot easier to read and see what's what, and I'll send them all to you later on. Steve, the Moorfield was the number one priority on the revenue, patching. And lining funds. The way the county council splits it, we've got capital, we've got revenue. Capital's for A&P roads, the likes of Moorfield Road is what effectively we control. So Geoff and I made that our number one priority. In terms of your speed bumps, I'm not aware they're not in. So I'll chase up. Do you want me to come back to you personally?
Yes,
the cabinet member for the land requisitions. It's with the legal team, so until the land requisitions are done, nothing else will start. And it's quite a tight timetable anyway, so there is a limit to when we can do it. So the government has stipulated X is the date. I can't remember which month it is, but it's about the middle of 25. So it's not a lot of time. there'll be ways that we can make it work, but the government money has to be spent by a specific date. Obviously, to come back to Council Bailey's point, there is capital from this authority, from the district council, from the county council, so we can manage how we spend that money. And the last bit spent will likely be the capital funding part which we provided from here. Council Bailey, we did agree, so I'm not quite sure. If you point me to the website and you're telling them that the Exeter Town Council emblem's not on it, it should be, because that was agreed at the start.
There has been some email exchange between Jerry Mills and myself and Stuart Jarvis along this very point. We were acknowledged in the press release that said that the consultation was about to start, but some of the advertising material were not acknowledged.
So I'll chase up with Stuart tonight, but the reality is we did agree.
I think he might be on leave.
He's not had that email's off.
Oh, okay, okay.
So all funding partners should be acknowledged. In all the meetings that take place, public meetings, etc., it is acknowledged and the funding partners are. That is important. So if you don't see it, then tell us we can do something about it. I don't see all the literature everyone sees, but we will address it because it is only right. In terms of permits, I mean, realistically, you've got an issue with a resident, point to Jeff and I. So I'm going to see someone tonight after this meeting and want to have a conversation about it. We have the detail, we've been involved in it for the last 5 years. But realistically, there's things that Jeff and I have to ask for advice all the time because it's not that simple. There's an awful lot of detail in these traffic orders. In terms of the zoning, if you're in Zone A, you can only park in Zone A. If you have a vehicle, it has to be registered to your property for you to get a permit. If it's not registered to your property, you can't get a permit. You can get a visitor's permit, but they're limited. So the initial scheme starts with two. But if you've got, say, five vehicles registered to your property, you'll be given the number of permits for the current vehicles you've got. If you sell your house and someone else moves in, it will be restricted to two. And that's a DCC policy for all permit holders. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But any questions? My mobile's on all day. I receive emails all day. I feel your pain, Joe, by the way, rushing here after a full day's work. So keep doing what you're doing, mate. It's not easy. Pick four. I'll take four call any time of the day. So Jeff, if I don't answer, I'll bring you back. We can explain things. Emails, really, they don't work. They're good for information, but if you want an answer, pick the phone up. If I can't give you an answer, I'll find someone who can. Okay?
Thanks very much. Yeah, the lady who phoned me, she didn't do electronic stuff anyway. I'll give her your number next time.
Feel free to give my number out, it's public, anyone can call me anytime. Like I said, I don't answer, I'll get back to you, just come check out.
Thanks a lot, Richard. That's much appreciated. Pauline.
Sorry, just to answer this question, but just suppose a residence parking doesn't work in that particular area for some reason, can it be reversed? I'm just asking this as a, I haven't got any residents parking around me, but I'm just wondering if you find that it's impossible to, or the residents didn't kick off because a lot of them didn't know about it or whatever. Can it be reversed? Just a question I'm asking.
So I would challenge that people didn't know about it. It's been going on for 5 years. I can accept that the communication's not been perfect. It's a very large organisation, it's a very large traffic order. I get residents contacting me and saying, no one's told them about it. We've had multiple letter reps. It's been all on social media, it's been in the old fashioned printed press, etc. etc. The amount of emails I receive about it tells me people know about it. In terms of it doesn't work, the traffic law has been implemented or it'll become legal, I think, on the 14th of August, so that'll mean it'll be sealed. If you want to do away with it, we need to put the traffic law in place. So you can't tinker with it. We'll be able to tinker with bits of, say, double yellow lines. In terms of a review, so the advertised proposals were not implemented in full. So there's probably about 20% still that could be implemented, but it'd be residents at the time certainly ask us for permits because they're not going to get a park in any of the resorts. So I think there may be extensions to this. What I would say, I don't believe we'll be architecting the authority to submit it. Now it's been put in. That'll be one hell of a battle if you want to say, right, okay, we're just going to take it out when it's taken 5 years to implement. So I think the review bits, the import bits start off with, which is December. Possibly that may have to go back because by the time it's implemented, you'll only have 3 to 4 months to collect and look at the data, responses from residents. I think it's important that we get responses from residents. So if you go back to your point you made before, if you've got people contacting them, they need to come to us so we can collate the information, so we've got the information and it demonstrates what we need to either change or what we need to do differently. I don't think it's going to be implemented in perfect overnight. It'll take time for us to get used to. I do hear there's no support, this is democratic, it's not the case. If there was no support, we wouldn't have done it. So it will have its teething problems. It's a big parking team. A very, very confident part of Exmouth. So it'll be a big difference for people from outside of these areas that potentially in the past have used it as a, well, I won't say a car park because you can feel free to park wherever you like and there's no restrictions. But if you were in Brixington and you were parking your car there and walking onto the train station, you're not going to be able to do that anymore. So there'll be a change for a lot of people in Exmouth. So we have to see how it works, how it bends in, and then we'll look at it from there.
Tim, can I declare an interest that I am a resident of Cornwall? I think I'm probably the only one around here tonight who is actually in an affected. Or you are?
Yeah, no.
I know Lisa, but you're in Zone B, I think, Lisa, and you are blown at what Richard's just been describing. I don't know whether I'm allowed to comment. I mean, the rules on declaration of interest, funnily enough, the LGA Code of Conduct actually cites people living in resident permit areas.
You're not making any decisions, you can make any comment you like.
Maybe I was when I was at Hatton the other day. Anyway. Enough of that. What I was going to say is there are a number of things. One of the things about the consultation, several years ago, probably 20 years now, getting on that way, there was another attempt at putting those kind of parking restrictions in. Now, as I understand it, at that time, it was quite clear up front in the consultation what the cost of that would be. In this consultation, I think I'm right in saying that the cost was not up front in the proper advertising, and I do believe that people actually voted in favour of it without knowing the costs that they or others who were going to come and visit them, you know, you could say tradesmen, you could say friends and relatives, all these kind of people are having to be involved in the visitors' permit schemes, as I understand it. So there is a real problem. I take Pauline's point that there is likely to be considerable resistance. I'm assuming that, I was worried when you said that about the review. It sounded as if you were saying the review wouldn't consider scrapping the scheme altogether. I hope that's not the case anyway. But as I say, there are a lot of detailed questions about how the scheme works, and I don't want to go in for them tonight.
The review is to implement the traffic order in full. So at the moment it's not implemented in full. The decision has been taken to implement it, so you can't just scrap it. It's a legal traffic. To remove the traffic order, you need another traffic order. So you can't just scrap it. If you put double yellow lines in, you can remove them, but to remove them, you've got to put another traffic order in place. It's for it to be legal. So, yeah, the review will not have anything in it about scrapping the scheme. It will be whether to implement the rest of it. And then we'll have to look at it after that in terms of impact. You mentioned voting. I'm afraid. with something like which on this, there wasn't a vote, it was a consultation, it wasn't a referendum, which there's a lot of confusion sure. in that. Sure. In terms of tradespeople can get exemptions for permit schemes so they can work. This is going to take a period of time adjustment for people to go from, you can just park where, well, provide this space, you can just park wherever you want. We do have to remember that. There's been a very, very large groundswell of support for some sort of permit scheme in around these areas. And the reality is there's more cars than there is space. So is it going to be perfect? No, it isn't. But we'll have to deal with it. Yeah. Chairman, there was in your agenda item, you've got something about 20, is plenty invited to DCC. Does anyone want to ask me any questions about that while we're here? While we're sat on the 20 mile road.
So, could you repeat that,
Tim?
20 is plenty.
So you've got in your agenda item, you've got.
It's a recommendation that's come from the Transport Partnership. So I can just give a bit of background information. So there's a growing swell of support, I suppose, amongst the town and parish councils across Devon to ask the county council to take an approach like Cornwall Council has taken, where 20 mile an hour is the default limit rather than 30. In certain circumstances and when certain criteria are met, and we've been asked to support that campaign, to pass a motion to say that we want the county council to look at it on a county-wide basis, rather than through the criteria-led scheme that you've implemented over the last 2 years, where in 2022 I think four towns that met all the criteria managed to get the 20 mile an hour limits, and this year I think it was six, wasn't it, but out of 160 odd applicants or something. So that's the background to the motion. It's to try and support a county-wide initiative at town and parish council level for the county council to look at it more holistically, and that then with the outcome that the default is changed to 20 miles an hour when certain criteria are met.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff and I, I'm not here to answer from the authority and its policies that put in place. Our job is to make the authority do what it should be doing in our local area. The reality is it's progressed, because before the answer was no, for any 20 mile per hour schemes outside of new developments. I don't quite buy the idea that because the police necessarily don't want to enforce it, it's not worth doing. I mean, if you look at the data, what the argument always is, the 85th percentile, and that is 85% of drivers who obey the speed limit. So I'd rather 85% obey 20 and 15 didn't, in the current situation where you may have 85 obeying 30 and 15 not. And I think the logic would be, if you say, for example, Dillon at the moment have an average of about 34 to 35, if we reduce the speed limit down, the average would still come down. It didn't actually be a bad example because with the size of the road, it works at 20. I think in principle, Jeff and I and Christy as well support more 20 mile per hour areas. I think the county council is behind. I think it's about middle ground in terms of considering this issue nationwide. The caveat, however, is if we look at the trial in Newman Abbot, it didn't have widespread support. They had widespread support for outside schools, hospitals, areas like that, in terms of everything within a 20 mile per hour zone. In that trial, that support wasn't there. I think you'd have to look at how you do it. So, realistically, in Livingston, we did all the work with Livingston Parish Council to. Well, let me explain actually in terms of the criteria. So, the criteria is heavily weighted to deprivation, which most of you may think, why is it heavily weighted deprivation when it's speed? The reason why is because in poorer areas, more people die from being hit by cars than they do in wealthier areas, hence why deprivation. So if you guys go on the public health website at Devon County Council, you can see all the information for yourself. Personally, if we look at Livingston, the plan in Livingston is to make Livingston 20 mile per hour all the way in, to be 20 mile per hour all the gateways, would be pretty much the same, small villages. I don't think it'd be practical for all of Exmouth to be 20, but I think when you look at specific areas, if you're coming off the 376, if you're off Dinan, if you're off Hullam, etc., I think it'd be sensible to look at it. You guys have an opportunity to feed into that, so no 20 mile per hour areas will be approved without support from the local parish or town council. And none of them will be approved without support from the local members. If you want it, we don't, it'll go nowhere. If we want it, you don't, it'll go nowhere. So it's about working together. I think realistically, I personally, I would rather the authority had a blanket sort of policy exactly where they go and where they don't. So at the minute, you're going to Topshire, you're going to Wise, Topshire about 20 miles around the main road, and you go somewhere else, it doesn't. It's the same speed up. So if we go back to the governance review, which is the boring bit, this is what we're going to change in terms of how the authority works. When you realise I've got a couple of years in. If we look at, and I don't want to bore you with the internal mechanisms, but this is important to understand. We go back to your point about traffic orders.
Yeah.
It's just not as simple as it sounds, even though we may want it to be, it isn't. If we look at speed limits at the moment, so I can argue that what Jeff and I are pushing for is we want all the 60s taken out to 30s. So we look at the top of all the road, we don't want that to be 40 over 60. If we go to the top of Bicecock, St John's, etc., Salt the Road coming in, we want the gateways into the main roads into Exmouth from all the directions to be 30s. So you know you're in a 30 regardless of anything else. If you look at how it works at the moment, to deviate from the policy, that has to be a cabinet member and a cabinet decision, which is ridiculous. So they should be dealt with more in the highways committees about what are the speed limits. So the rules of the game, we need to change them. So you'll probably see in 12 to 18 months, there'll be a lot of difference in terms of how speed limits are handled. Because these are issues that, no matter what your view on a speed limit is, and some people don't support those speed limits, the reality is when you've got children around, when you've got vulnerable people around, I don't think some reasonable to ask people to drive their cars slower, in particular when you're in more urban areas. So driving through Woodbury at 45 is not acceptable. Where you've got residents living on that road. But in order for all of this to actually work and be implemented properly, the police need to up their game in terms of enforcement as well. But my view will be, if you have lower speeds in general, you will see lower speeds. So, yeah, support 20 is plenty. Whether you get a 100% application, I don't know why, is a different thing. But I think we definitely need a policy change, a policy review on it. And the government should be
thanks very much for that, Richard. That's actually very positive to pick up on it. Good to hear.
I'm a positive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I knew the town band were going to start at 7:30 because I came down to see them last week. There is a window behind you, Fred.
Fred's just opened it.
Oh, you just opened it. Oh, fair enough.
But it's going to get hot.
Yeah, no.
The trouble is that the recording's going to pick up the music.
But I mean, obviously, it would probably make life simpler for DCC if they just adopted a blanket 20 mile an hour policy and then looked at the 30 mile an hour limits. But I totally agree that they need to sort of transparent and coherent criteria for when the higher limits or lower limits are
appropriate. Just to address that, there is a transparent and a coherent criteria. It's just rigidly stuck to, and they're guidelines. So you've got to understand the difference between guideline, policy, and legal. So you can have a guideline or a policy, but it doesn't mean it's the law. So sometimes you can find in local authorities that quite often it's hiding behind guidelines and policies rather than actually changing the guidelines and policies to suit what residents want. And if we look at the wider agenda outside of moving, health and wellbeing is going to be one of the top priorities of public health authority. And when we look at whether that be localised pollution, when we look at that in terms of noise pollution, how people feel in their local area, their access to space, etc. This is all part of what speed limits should be looked at as well, not just your cars going X over a certain distance. So it's great when you're driving your car and you're doing 40, but you have no idea the impact that has on the resident that lives at the side of that road, and their health and well-being, how they feel about where they live, etc., etc. So that's another aspect of reducing speed.
have a crack on. If we get out, they'll keep going until about 8:30, 8:45.
So this is a bleak show.
Yeah. We might even get out there to hear a bit of the... Oh, they're very good, by the way.
Yeah,
there you have it, exactly. Where have we got to? Item 7, I think, isn't it?
Six.
Thank you. Okay, yes, so it's reports of committees, working parties, and so on, anyway. We'll start with Planning Committee. Do we have a proposer?
Councillor
Ridley, seconder, Councillor Whips. All in favour of accepting those minutes? Yeah. That's fine. Finance Committee.
Chair.
There's
a mistake on those.
Oh, thank you.
All right, it shows that I'm not present at the meeting yet. I'm actually mentioned further on in the minutes. So that's incorrect.
I'll get that corrected, thank you.
Thanks, Lisa. Okay.
Other than that, are you happy that there are a correct record of the meeting?
Oh, absolutely. It's just that it shows that I wasn't there.
Okay.
Right.
And I couldn't have.
No, that's fine.
Implicated forms.
Okay.
We need a proposer and a seconder for finance ones.
I lost my thread.
Are you happy to propose, Fred?
Yeah.
If you were at the meeting.
Yeah, with that amendment.
Yeah.
Councillor Cagle's proposed seconder. I'm happy to second, actually. I was there. I think it was that one.
All in favour?
Okay, all in favour?
Thank you.
Okay. Town Clerk's report. Any questions for Lisa?
Self-explanatory.
Good-o. Yep. I think Shepherd's report is to follow.
It was circulated separately.
Okay.
Yeah. So you should all have that.
Right. Any questions on that one? Shepherd's here as well. Climate and Ecological Emergency Working Party, do we have a proposer for that?
They just need noting because they're just working party notes.
It's just notes. Thank you. Okay.
Noted.
Community Organisation Liaison Panel, COLP, that's for noting as well, I presume.
Yeah.
Is it possible to comment on something in the minutes? It talked about item 8, street scene update, where they fitted all these new bollards down at the recreation ground. Mm.
Yep.
Where they've removed the old bollards, they've left the holes in place. They haven't backfilled the old holes, which could be possible for youngsters to put their foot in and break
it.
Even my dog has pulled down the hole. So dogs are susceptible as well as humans. So I think someone needs to revisit from street scene or contractors to ensure that the jobs are done properly.
Getting on to street scene would be the quickest way to
the town council.
That's fine, yeah.
Simon Kennedy, is the acting manager, so we get on to him.
Thank you.
Those built in. Exmouth Transport Partnership, so here we do have a recommendation that full council pass the motion in support of the 20s Plenty campaign. We've just heard from Richard about that, and writes the DCC to request that they change their default policy. And as part of what Richard said, this could take a while, but I think every little helps, and I think if we can support that, help to push DCC in the right direction.
Does Councillor Dumper have anything else to raise?
Yeah.
As chair of Transport Partnership.
A number of things, but
So I'm not quite clear what whether Richard Scott felt that it was didn't have a great deal of point putting forward our motion, but I would be ready to either second if you're proposing from the chair those ratifications, or to propose and invite a seconder. I'm not sure. But I think
as chair of the Transport Partnership, which yes. brought the recommendation yeah. forward, if yeah. you proposed it, I yeah. seek a seconder. Got a seconder from Joe.
So you need a vote on that?
Yes, absolutely. I just wondered if anybody wanted to say anything about it before we go to a vote. No? Okay. All those in favour then of supporting that campaign
Thank you.
And writing to DCC, that's fine. Thank you very much for that support.
Now, as Lisa says, could I add one or two things about transport, because as has been picked up, we've got this currently this consultation on the what do you call it, Exmouth Gateway, whether we call it the levelling up bid around station, or whether we call it active travel improvements. As I noted, somebody at county had rebranded it. Personally, I wanted them to say public transport, because when you actually look at it, we were, as we mentioned earlier, we have been campaigning for many years for the transport interchange between trains, buses, taxis, walking and cycling, of course, disabled access, etc., etc. Now, what I read in what they say is that they call it an upgraded bus stop. Well, I'm afraid that's not really my idea of what we should be doing. It has been mentioned, I mean, Aurora brought it up earlier, that there is a consultation meeting over at the leisure centre, the one near the station, or near the Marks and Spencer, between 12 and 4 on Thursday. And as Lisa has mentioned, there is also the ability to put our own individual taking on, as you and a number of people around here are. So the consultation is open and we can do that. So that's that, and I would like as many people as possible to do that. Councillor Cagle has got his.
Through the chair, can I just ask then? Yes, we can all put our own individual.
Just put your mic on.
I'm sorry. But if after the presentation and looking at all the detail, does that fit in timing if we were to bring it to the next town council meeting to discuss as a council and put a collective response?
I would have liked and welcomed that, but I think the closing date for that consultation is in August, isn't it?
It's August the 21st,
yeah.
And our council meeting...
Is
August the 21st, yeah.
Normally we can speak to them.
No, our yeah. August, our...
I just think about that, after we've all had a chance to have a look at it, we can come back to this meeting, this board.
And I agree with that. Discussing think it's a good idea, but I don't know, Lisa, whether you've got any ideas.
Well, I can ask the County Council if they could extend it for us to discuss it at our meeting. Yeah. Or the alternative is to have an extraordinary meeting if you wanted yeah. to discuss it specifically.
I just think as a Town Council, that gives greater democracy to our group.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do think it's a bit unfair. It's like several of these consultations. It's rather unfair that we're asked in August to respond to it, because people are going to be on holiday, etc.
And it all came very short notice.
So I have been in touch with Stuart Jarvis to ask if we can have a meeting, or I can have a meeting with relevant working party chairs, so possibly yourself, Tim, as chair of the Transport Partnership, just to make sure that we're all on the same page, because I got the impression from the briefing event that took place on Thursday from Jerry Mills and Chetner that they appeared to have deviated a little bit from some of the original promises that were made about engagement with the town council, and that the consultant that they've engaged didn't seem to be fully up to speed on some of the original things that we'd put forward as suggestions, and indeed what's in our neighbourhood plan around that area. So the reason I said earlier to Richard was I thought Stuart was on holiday, was because Stuart had said to me that he's about to go on holiday, but he has agreed to have a meeting when he gets back. Now, you know, what scope there is for everybody to be involved in that meeting, or whether there's just a few representatives, I don't know. But I have requested that, just out of concern that, you know, we're all on the same page. And I was a bit concerned that, obviously, Hannah Clark's no longer the lead officer. Stuart Jarvis is the lead officer, and it's Hannah that we'd engaged with previously and had made those commitments. So I wanted to make sure that that was carried forward to a different officer, if there's a different officer leading the project. So that's just by way of background, I've had that conversation.
Thank you, Lisa. I think Pauline had a question.
I'm sure that most people, when they see it, will be, disappointed in what we've tried all these years to try and do, and to find that they haven't even considered taxis, they haven't even considered buses, and it's meant to be a hub. And all they considered was people walking and cyclists.
That's important why it should come back to this meeting.
Yeah, and that's why I think it's really important that we might even have to have an extraordinary general meeting, because we've tried for years to do this, and I think it was the most disappointing thing I've ever seen, because it didn't do anything. For in fact, what it did was made the congestion of the traffic much worse, 10 times worse than what it would be now. And so I think we should definitely have an extraordinary general meeting, so that when everybody's seen it, they can come to a conclusion. And I'm sure you'll be very disappointed, those that have been on here for a long time.
Thanks, Pauline. I did ask about buses meeting that we had, and the answer was that they just envisaged them still using the parade and the Strand and the taxi will still be in the Strand. So, it's a short walk, but it's not the kind of interchange. The only thing we can do for is better signage, I think. I think it's partly that there just isn't the space around the station. But I would say Brian, we've got you on the list. My feeling is that if we look at the proposals, and it'd be good to get them up there, because looking up them on a tablet today, I was moving the thing around and enlarging it to try and see it properly. And I think what I'd like to see is just everybody pitching in and saying, I don't like that, don't like that, don't. So it's not so much us all coming to a common position as us really getting everybody's ideas in there, because I did one myself today, and so I'm sure I've missed out half a dozen things here that other people would spot. The main part of it is just kind of bullet points, are you supportive of active travel? How often do you walk or cycle? Kind of personal questions like that. But I agree, it's disappointing that it's not a fully integrated exchange. Perhaps why they call them gateway rather than transport.
So once Stuart came back, when I said that I'd had some feedback about the briefing, that it didn't quite meet our expectations, he did come back and said that he'd had similar feedback from East Devon District Council, and he's fed back to the WSP team, and it's something that they would work on improving for the in-person event on Thursday. He said that they're keen to make public realm improvements as part of the scheme, keen to engage with us, but we need to be mindful that the funding from the Department of Transport has been made in the context of a focus on active travel, and that's why they're focusing on that as part of the engagement session. And when I spoke to Tim Childs today about a different matter, he'd said that he's going to attend on Thursday to make himself known to the WSP team. But he said that the way the Levelling Up Fund bid worked, that it drew in different pockets of funding in the second round, and the bit that's going to the gateway was the bit of funding that was focused on active travel. So there's possibly been a slight shift in emphasis as a result of where the funding has come from and what they have to spend that funding on. But if that's the case, it would be useful if officers briefed us on that and we understood that, because at the moment it looks as if there's a little bit of a misfit, or it's falling short of what our expectations were, I think, for the offer around that piece of public realm.
I think we need to get back to doing this in order. So if I could come to Councillor Gassard first, because actually Steve had his hand up before you, Brian. Then I'll hear from Brian, then I'll hear from Fred, and then I'll come back to you, Pauline, if you wish. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, so Steve.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I'm fully endorse what Councillor Cagan said. Well, I think that's an excellent idea, that it comes back to this council. But I was really disappointed that in the minutes, and we're talking about an interchange, correct? But there's nothing in here about the demise, possible demise of the ticket office.
Well, I was going to mention that.
Without the ticket office, you know, the interchange is not going to work very well for the customers. And just to say that I was fortunate to be there a week ago last Tuesday, and the response from people of Exmouth is absolutely amazing. They want to keep the ticket office. And it probably is not on here then, Tim, because probably the consultation came out very quickly after the announcement, so that's why. It's not in the minutes, but
that was going to be my next point, Steve. That was my
thank you, Chair.
Okay, Brian, you've been very patient. Let's hear from
you. Thank you very much, Chair. First of all, I'd like to support Fred and Pauline of the suggestion, but it's on the part for an extraordinary meeting on this. It's very important. I would imagine, I take your point that you brought to Devon County, but I wouldn't imagine they'd change the dates. So we've got time to have an extraordinary meeting. It's very important. Tim and I and Pauline have been keeping on with this for 8-10 years now. And we're being sold short. This is nothing like a transport hub or an interchange. It's just a bit of a whitewash, there's no two ways about it. We're being sold apart. So I think if we can have an extraordinary meeting and thrash it out over 2 or 3 hours, however long it takes, and come to a joint decision that we're all behind, and place it to the authority and say that this is what we want. We don't want to be sold down the river on a half. What was it, an enhanced bus stop with a phrase? Which is absolutely
graded bus stop.
Absolute rubbish. It's nowhere near what we're after. And they are well aware of what we're after, and they're just denying us a choice. So if we have an extraordinary meeting so we can put our case thoroughly and with some strength and vigour behind it, and complain. Because I think that's the only way we're ever going to get anything done. We've been too nice and gentle over the years, and I think we ought to take the sword out of the sheath and go for it and fight it, because that's the only way we're going to get something done. Thank you, Chairman, for your patience.
Thank you for yours. Thanks. Fred, Councillor Kay.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. This is mentioned just recently, a short while ago, about government funding coming for active travel. Now, when I'm travelling by foot or by cycle, I'm pretty active. So what's the clear definition of the term active travel in this particular project?
I don't
know. Does anybody
know?
Well, interestingly, yes, I don't know exactly, but it usually refers to walking and cycling, or walking and wheeling.
So is it just about
walking and cycling? But, personally, in the active travel group that I belong to, we regard public transport as part of active travel, because you can't get a bus without walking to it, and when you get to your stop, you're almost certainly going to walk from it as well. So there is an element of activity in getting a bus compared to walking out of your house, getting in a car, driving to your destination, getting out, walking a few yards. So, far as I'm concerned, public transport is often a component
of active travel.
I agree with that.
Thank you for that clarification then on active travel. It's walking, cycling, bus, train, taxi, cars. So it's a whole gambit of things.
What was going to say, Fred, was that according to the government, and they're the ones who have told out this money, so like it, unfortunately that's not what it says. It is what you said initially. So it's walking, wheeling, cycling. So we've all got to get skills there, then we'll be fine. So in terms of the way they dish out the money, that unfortunately isn't what active transport means.
So it's already a bit of a conflict in what we're talking about. I too was fortunate to go down to the railway when one of the ladies contacted me to support their campaign. So I did go down and I did talk personally to the journalist that normally comes here on a personal level. I gave my sentiment of how it's a retrograde step, and I think it's the wrong thing to do, because Exmouth Railway Station definitely needs those three members of staff to continue working there, providing excellent service. So I echo what Councillor Garth Kazak said as well. So just talk about it.
I was just going to say, the most disappointing was the fact that the great majority of the money has actually been used to close off the underpass or to fill it in, which I think is a really waste of money.
Absolutely.
What a waste of money. Money to put a door or a thing on both ends and just close it off like that. Not to fill it in.
It's not been filled in yet.
Pardon?
It's not been filled in yet, has it?
Yes, I know, but that's what they wanted to do, and that's what came out in the presentation, wasn't it? Because we did ask about that, and they did suggest that perhaps a little shop either end or a little takeaway place could be put in either end of the tunnel, which I thought was ridiculous, really. No, but I mean, to spend all that money just to fill it in when you can just close it off.
If I can just go to Aurora in a moment, but I'll just say, let's not have the discussion that we're going to have extraordinary meeting now.
On Thursday,
we can make some of those points. If some of us can go along, I should be there. To Aurora.
Right, thank you, Chair. If you remember originally, when we had the meeting, first of all, here, and it was out there, we had all about the levelling up. And I asked if two of Exmouth Town Councillors go on the committee. Well, since then I've looked into it and they haven't got a committee as such. So what's happening, what's worrying me is Devon County are leading it, which we all know they are. They put in the most money, fine. But without our money and East Devon's money, it wouldn't have happened anyway. So what worries me, Chair, is how, apart from this meeting we're going to have, you know, how are we going to make ourselves heard? Because part of it doing this levelling up was for us all to get in on it, and it's at Exmouth, so therefore we should have a big say as well. And we put in 400,000, and it's a lot of money, you know, it's a lot of money. So I want to say in it, please, and I would like it noted that, you know, we should have a more say in it. All right, they're not going to have a committee, as far as I'm aware. And therefore, how are we going to be heard? So that's what worries me, Chair. Thank you.
Right, I think we'll have to comment as a council team, same as everybody else. So, Tim, can I come back to you?
Yes,
just
please. Well, I've got a couple of other points, including the booking ticket office as well. But in terms of this, I mean, I think, Lisa, quite a lot hangs on your meeting with Stuart Jarvis, because things have clearly changed since Hannah Clark was dealing with us, and I think we deserve to know how they've changed and whether in fact our meeting that we've just agreed we will have, our full council meeting, how that can actually influence the outcome.
I mean, one of the problems is, and I've seen this in all sorts of national and local debates on transport, the Department for Transport, DOT, does tend to micromanage everything, and they also have certain biases which have existed over the years, and public transport doesn't do very well out of those biases. And I'm interested not only in what's changed, but how this thing of the active transport and where that has precisely come from. Because in a sense, we have Boris Johnson, who said bus back better, when we had the big white paper on buses. And it's apparent that that hasn't necessarily carried over to what is going on currently. So there's a number of things, Lisa, which I would like to raise at any meeting we have now.
Okay.
So that, I think we can leave that there. And I implore as many people as possible to go over to the Leisure Centre on Thursday, 12 o'clock to 4, and we'll give them all the grilling over there and look at exactly what they've got on their display boards. So anyway, that's that. Second thing then is, as Steve has already mentioned and Fred has mentioned, I think you did, Joe, that the ticket office over at the station is under real threat. The town council now had correspondence from Great Western Railway to confirm that we are included in Exmouth in the overall proposals for, they're not calling it closing of ticket offices, they're calling it diverting staff to help the customers in a better way. Well, if helping them in a better way means helping them to use these ruddy machines, then I can assure them it won't actually work. And I think we need, the second point about that is there is a consultation on that, the closing date of which is in 2 days' time, on 26th of July. And I know that Lisa has said that it may be possible for us to express a view and perhaps feed that back to GWR. And I would like to propose that this meeting does send something back to GWR in terms of a very negative response. We want to keep our ticket office. I'm sorry I wasn't there when I was invited as well, and unfortunately I was out of town on that day, so I was unable to come over and see. I must declare an interest because my father was a ticket office clerk for many years, so I have a family interest in this as well. So, I don't know, Lisa, whether you want to say any more on the proposal.
No, I mean, one way forward would be for the council to agree that you have delegated authority with me to respond to the consultation, because we've only got 2 days to do it, and that would enable you and I to get our heads together tomorrow, so that we can respond on behalf of the council.
I'll second that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be good. And I think the general feeling from the meeting tonight has been that they're going to review this with concern. I don't know if Steve mentioned it, but it's not good for visually impaired people who can't use those gadget machines. The proposals, they're often a very helpful guy in the ticket office. And I know my wife much prefers going to the ticket office to get her tickets if she's got time. We'll use the machines, but for any journey that's less than getting to Exeter or Toxham, it's really helpful to have somebody there who can advise you on the ticket. I think they need to know that.
Yeah.
So very happy to delegate that to you, Tim. Did we have a proposer for that, Fred? And a seconder? Group? Go on, Andrew.
There's also a concern for a railway staff if they're supposed to be closer to customers. Wandering around stations rather than sitting down. That's probably a risk for their long-term health. And without the safety screen, there's a
saying on that point, Chair, that, that in fact our ticket office staff do get out on the platform at various times and help customers in that way. So it already happens, and I fear that this this is a big smokescreen, this whole discussion about getting them nearer the customers, etc. It doesn't really work. The other thing to say about the machines is the machines don't handle all kinds of tickets. So as well as accessibility of the machines and the fact that they don't work quite often, is the fact that, that there are tickets, e.g. group tickets, which they can't deal with. So there are real problems with that.
So we need to take a vote on the delegation to you. So all in favour, we've had a vote in the second person.
Thank you.
Excellent. Okay, and if you have any further thoughts and you want to just email Tim or Lisa, then we can make sure that goes into the response to the consultation as well.
I think Mark had a brief.
Okay, yeah, and I was invited to that Thursday protest as well. Go ahead, Mark.
I'm sorry, probably too late for this, but I just want to clarify precisely what we are doing, because we didn't actually word a motion, which became a resolution. I think, as I understood the way we've left it, is that we're leaving it to Tim and to draft.
No, Lisa.
Lisa. Can I say just a minute, I'm entirely happy with that, because I entirely agree with the tenor of the discussion so far. But I just want to be clear that we will be wording a very strongly worded and evidenced letter complaining about this decision, and also the way in which the whole procedure has been handled.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, if you have any further thoughts, please email them to Tim or Lisa. I think what we agreed, we didn't necessarily have a motion, but it was to simply delegate authority to Tim and Lisa to give a response on behalf of Town Council. But if anybody feels there are particular points they want to make sure are included, then please do let those people know. Okay,
so I've got two more brief points to make on the transport developments. One was to update everybody that co-cars and co-bikes have gone out of business now. They went down, I believe we didn't ask Richard this, they went down with 300,000 of Devon County Council's money. So that wasn't very good. But the whole thing that car and bike sharing and hiring for short periods has now disappeared. And I mean, they were very keen on the pushing of electric vehicles and that kind of thing. So we suffer in a number of ways. I don't think there's anything very much we can do about that at the moment, but just to update. The other thing to say is that we had our last transport partnership meeting was not well attended in terms of particularly public transport stakeholders, but we also didn't get Devon County Council officers there. They did have a reason they didn't come, because Devon County Council officers have been instructed for efficiency and other reasons that they should only attend the most vital of outside meetings. So there is an instruction out there for them not to come to things like our transport partnership, which, yes, I think is terrible. Does the bus forum come under this, or is that
no, under outside bodies? Board? Outside bodies.
That's all I need to say.
Thank you, Tim. Okay, so I think we're moving on to the festival and events working party.
No,
you're
on the.
Oh,
sorry, we haven't gone on.
Yeah,
we've gone up too much.
Yes, as you all know, it is the festival this weekend, and we do need more volunteers. So if you can spend a couple of hours on one of the days, whether it be Saturday, Sunday, or Monday, it would be gratefully received. And if you could contact Chetna, and I hope to see all of you there at some stage over the weekend. That's about it.
Can I just add that we have a dedicated app for the festival? So
yes,
you can download the app to your phone, and it will update you in real time about what's on where across the three festival sites this year. So there's stuff going on in the Strand, which is quite sort of folk oriented, Manor Gardens, which is very family oriented, but also towards the elderly on Monday. We've got tea dance. There's quite a lot of fringe things going on. You can participate in some shanty singing training if you want to at Holy Trinity. There's workshops that you can take part in. And the app tells you everything that's going on where and when. And Sideshow is quite a heavy focus on young people with this sound bus that's coming and other activities. We've also got quite a strong presence from a climate and ecological emergency point of view. We've got people going around as part of our green team, so Zoe and friends, promoting sustainability messages, and there are some talks around that on the Sideshow stage as well. So check out the app, please get involved, and yes, please, if you can spare a few hours to help us, because it's across three sites, we're a bit stretched in terms of stewarding and volunteering capacity. You know, normally we put all our resources on one site. This year we've got to cover three, so we are spreading ourselves a bit thinly. All help would be appreciated.
So see you at the weekend.
Thank you, Joy. I should declare an interest here because I'm playing with my band at 5:30 on the Strand.
Is it on Saturday?
On Saturday, Yellow Dog, we will also be running two workshops, one on Appalachian clock dance, step dance, get your taps and come along, or any hard shoes will do. We're also running a singing workshop, singing a couple of old time songs in the afternoon. Those are both level people.
Before we come to see Ollie, if you go to one of the fringe events in the Heavy Tree at 5, you'll see me. Anyway,
let's move on. This is
advertising, isn't it? Yeah, does anybody else want to plug their gig?
We've got a shanty band.
I think it's very remiss that the shanty men aren't represented only by an ex shanty man. Okay. You'd recommend a shanty man, right? Do we just note those?
Unless Ian wants to give any updates.
There's nothing, unless anybody's got any questions, I just really note.
Okay, so first of all, this weekend, be there. So we don't need a vote on that.
No.
Town maintenance overview, notes at that meeting.
Good noting.
Just for noting, and the waterfront working party was a correction to that one.
Pauline chairs that. I don't know if she's got something she wants to add.
When do they become minutes and notes? Because we've always had to propose and second.
So working parties are notes, and because the working parties don't have delegated authority, if there's any recommendations that come out of working parties, they come to full council. They get ratified and they get incorporated in the minutes. So working parties have notes, council meetings at which decisions are made have minutes. So all the working parties have notes and they are noted. If there's recommendations, the recommendations come forward separately, as with the Transport Partnership, and they are then ratified because they're decisions. Okay? Yeah.
Just for clarity, does that apply to planning committee as well?
No, because the planning committee is a committee, and so is finance committee.
Yeah. Fine. Okay.
So, finally, so we've noted the waterfront work with a slight amendment. So, reports from members who represent the council on outside bodies. The weather person being would be Angela Boatwright, but she's not here. But the notes of the meeting are there. Have we got anybody else on that one? Tim, so do you want to answer that?
Well, no, not really. I've already spoken enough. The new dementia hub was a big part of that meeting. I actually went as a substitute for Councillor Dan Major from that district, so yes. I didn't go on behalf of Town Council.
Ah, I see. Okay, thank you. Yes, I've noticed the signs going up. When I read the minutes of this, oh, that's what it is. Right, I'll put myself in. Okay.
Sorry to interrupt. I was just wondering, on this web, on the wellbeing board, I'm quite interested in that, and the last two council meetings, we've not heard any, I know we've got the report on here, the update. I was wondering whether there was a possibility maybe they could have two people doing the web. Because it's quite a big, can you not put two people on it?
We did ask previously. We actually had to fight to get a councillor representative on the Health and Wellbeing Board. And they agreed eventually that we could have one representative, but we've not been told we can have two. I mean, I could ask David Bassett if we could have two, or if, you know, we could send a substitute, but I mean, Angela actually attended, it's just that she's not here this evening to give an update.
I stood against Angela to full opposition, so...
I mean, we've got representation there, it's just that we're not getting the feedback. But, I mean, an alternative might be that if Angela can't attend in person, that she provides a written report that could be circulated. I mean, I think when we made the appointments to the external bodies, I did highlight the need for any councillor on an external body to feed back in, because that appointment is made on the basis that, you know, there's a two-way process, that you're feeding out news of the council, but you're also feeding back into the council, and that is a sort of a prerequisite really of being appointed to an outside body, that we have that two-way communication.
Just to say then that Councillor Angela Boatwright did say to me she thought the dementia hub was particularly important thing. I mean, she works in the area of elder care and that sort of thing. So she was there paying attention and active on the group. So, you know, I mean, previously, of course, we had Councillor David Poore on there as a rep, but and he was always present. And we also had former councillor Amy Beach, who is actually still on the group herself, and was there for the last meeting.
I actually met Jonathan Hamrick on before he went to the web meeting. And I'd just like to point out that don't be confused, the dementia hub is a free facility. It's a commercial product which people have to pay for. They can't fund it themselves. Obviously, they can apply to Devon County Council for funding for the services that are sold, if you like. It's not free at source. Okay, thank you.
Sure. Thanks very much for pointing that out.
Please.
Yeah, come on, Aurora.
I'd just like to say it's nothing personal to Angela. I was just thinking it is quite a big thing, and that if there was another councillor with her doing it, it might be helpful for her as well as for the council. It was nothing personal, I'd just like to point that out. Thank you, Chair.
No, I think we just took it and you felt that it would be good if we could have two councillors on there.
I can ask the question.
Yeah. I was just thinking, because it's quite a busy, you know, and you've got two people, you can help each other or whatever.
Yeah.
She might like the help.
I think the list of attendees is quite long from memory, but we can but ask, can't we? Okay, so I think
There are notes on it, so excuse me a minute. My tablet has decided to go to sleep. There we go. The next one is the Exmouth Town and Seafront Group. There's a meeting tomorrow, actually, if they want to drop in on Zoom. Greg, is there anything you want to add to the notes that are there?
Oh, that's on the placemaking group.
Yeah.
For the Seafront Group, my apologies.
Sorry, yes. I was just shortening it.
A couple of things. As Jim says, there is a meeting tomorrow. From the last meeting, there's been very little progress on a number of factors, but everything's held in abeyance pending the appointment of the consultants. They have now been appointed, they've agreed the contract, so work has already started. The agenda for tomorrow, there's quite a substantial paper on the EDDC website for the agenda tomorrow, which is outlining the timetable and timelines for the consultants. And there are a couple of workshops in the pipeline, one at the end of July and one in mid-September, which would be open at the Ocean, but more on that a bit later, that people can go along and see the progress and the proposals. I think the other thing I just wanted to mention, I'm sure you've all seen the notes from Lisa, there were some questions asked here last time, which were put to the placemaking group, Jerry Mills in particular, and he has responded to them. Lisa did circulate the responses, and again, a lot of it was just holding. Everything just seems to be holding at the moment, pending the consultant's report. I was a little bit disappointed, I have to confess, that they didn't wish to engage directly with the town council, but there are a substantial number of town councils on the placemaking group, so I've got something to communicate with our fellows.
Okay, thank you. Any comments on that? No? So that's noted. And Twinning Association, Tim?
Yeah. Well, just a quick verbal report. We are sending our visit team to Germany very soon. They depart on August the 16th and come back on the 21st. We look forward to an interesting programme, and we're thoroughly looking forward to meeting our old friends there once again.
Great. Dalt Larger Councils. This was a month ago, and I can't remember a thing about it.
Well, the notes are all
going in and hearing everybody. I think we got to the moment about Deputy County Council when I got there. So we're all happy to note those notes. It's my first one, actually. I did find it interesting, even though I can't remember a thing about it. But I remember the time thinking, actually, that was quite interesting. Okay, back to you, Tim, for the Boss Users Forum.
I'll keep it brief. We were lucky again for this second meeting of the Boss Users Forum to have the Chief Executive Managing Director of Stagecoach in our area there, Southwest. The interesting thing to note there in terms of the discussion we had earlier was that he has not been particularly negative about having an area that we might call an interchange, unlike his predecessors, who have all been very negative about the idea of going in behind the station or whatever. So I'm actually a bit hopeful that our operators might be more progressive than some of the others involved. The other thing was I did follow up all the points that we wanted to ask Stagecoach about doubling up of buses, the 57s regularly coming in pairs instead of on their quarter-hourly schedule. that have been raised, and you know, I mean, it was, you know, what else could he say? But we're still recovering from COVID. We're still on the Exeter depot. We're still not full staffed. But as soon as we get full staffed, we will get buses through to Brixington, etc., on a quarter hourly. And I know that Hagel brought me a particular issue as well.
Were they answered?
Not there, no, they weren't. So I will attempt to follow up.
Thanks, Tim.
May I ask a question, Jim?
I'll just say cancellations as well, never mind them coming in twos. I came out of the Georgian Dragon on Friday night to find that the 10:15 bus had been cancelled. The only way I could find that out was from the stagecoach app, which fortunately I had. Otherwise, I could have stood there till 10:15, discovered there was no bus, and I'd have been there till 11:15 waiting for the next bus. But instead, I
walked down to that time.
I walked down to the station. I could have done it, Fred, and got a train back instead. Brian.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to suggest that when Tim's at his next meeting with his people, that you would say to them, well, this every quarter of an hour is not working. Because the first bus gets the majority of people, the second bus is very empty. We're very concerned about climate change, so we're in effect running a bus every 15 minutes and nobody on it, or very few people. And it's just ridiculous that we're trying to get the climate change sorted out, and they're getting subsidies for running buses with nobody on it. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Yeah, and one of the issues we didn't bring up this time, which we have done on a number of occasions in the past, is running more sustainable buses.
I'm really struggling.
I have this
with that
month's
noise.
Copy of buses monthly. And on a national basis, and the number of different companies taking on board battery buses, etc. And one company is even running hydrogen buses now, so we are a long way behind the curve.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll just say, Brian, one of the reasons the buses get held up, I agree with you about the 15-minute service, is because of the amount of traffic. And the buses wouldn't be running empty if all those people who were driving one person to one car were to go on the bus instead. The buses would be full and they'd run on time because there wouldn't be so much traffic on the road. And that's a vicious cycle that we've never yet managed to address. Okay. Definitely active travel.
Not active travel.
Okay. We're on to District Councillor's reports. You've probably seen Joe's report.
Fred. Oh. Okay, thank you. Well, it's probably not District Councillor's report, but I attended the Camberley Motorhome Town this morning, the Exeter Town Council one, along with Councillor Williamson and Richard East Hope from the car parks manager. Portfolio, the whole of Port Hayward, and two county councils. Now, this was following on from a TAF where we hadn't met for some considerable time, but when we did meet last, about a couple of years ago, we tasked the then officer who was in the position to scope a location to provide facilities for campgrounds. Wasn't done, so I should be meeting again with the portfolio holder and the car parks manager on Thursday to go through what was requested of them 2 years ago so they could go away and do a scoping exercise and come up with a timeline for any possible project going forward. So that's about it, really. I just wanted to give you a brief update that it's happened and it's progressing. So we had a very useful meeting and discussion, and we think it's something that we can move forward with.
And the meeting notes will come to the next council meeting, so you will get a formal copy of the meeting notes.
Any questions?
I'm just going to add, Chair, that obviously when that scoping exercise is completed, it will obviously go back to the Camperwell Town, but then it will necessarily come back to this council, because it is quite a complex operation. I think we're all a little impatient about time scale, but our county councillors were fully aware that this is not exactly a kitchen but on grass, but it's taken an awfully long time to get a solution. And it does involve looking at existing car parks and looking at the relative value and cost of any redesign of those in respect of Camperwells. So it's not an easy task, but I think Fred and I could both assure the council that when that scoping exercise is completed, it will be fully reported here.
And we could be leaders in Devon County Council policy that there.
Yes.
Could I just add to that, that the meeting also shared updates from Devon County Council. Devon County Council are trying to adopt a county-wide position on motorhome parking, and they are trying to work with all the district councils to get some parity of offer and policy across the county. So that's ongoing work. And the other thing that was reported is that there is a traffic order progressing to prohibit the overnight parking of camper vans on the section of the seafront between it's this section down
from
here
ocean
from
down
from
to
ocean down
hotel.
To the beach hotel, where there's a little bit of a loophole currently because that wasn't included in the original traffic order that prohibits overnight parking from the lifeboat station down to Orcombe Point. They left this bit. And they've now decided that because of that loophole and the fact that various people have cottoned onto the fact that overnight parking on that stretch is not illegal, they're now strengthening the traffic order. Don't know how quickly that will be implemented, but I got the impression it was imminent.
And I also asked Councillor Traill to include HGV and coaches for parking on that stretch of the beach so that they use the appropriate parking in the estuary, lorry and coach park.
Which he said he would look into.
He did.
Yeah.
More space for them. Councillor Toy.
Yeah, as this big news has been covered by other councillors, but I've also attended an LED meeting for fixing the roof is a priority, especially the pavilion and the tennis centre. And there's a new heating system for the pool which uses waste heat from cloud computers. So I didn't know there was a facility nearby to make it work, but obviously there is. Also on planning, at the Halston we've had a large volume of correspondence about a Warren View to relocate the boxing club there. So just for the whoever organises the town council planning meeting to be aware that you might have a
Large
turnout from
residents. Yeah, so that application is in and it will be on our next agenda as far as I'm aware. Yeah.
Okay. Chair, I'm sorry, but I'm going to
go. Yes. Excuse me. We've done 2 hours. I think we should be able to wrap up pretty soon. Okay.
I've got to go now.
That's fine. We'll note that you've left. It's fine.
Thank you.
I don't think we've got much left to do, have we?
I don't know if there are any other district councillor reports, are there?
I did send one to reception today, but I suddenly looked at the clock and thought, it's gone 5.
We'll circulate it tomorrow, that's fine.
Yeah, but it'll come round tomorrow. There wasn't a lot on it, it was mainly about strategic planning, which is the bit that probably interests people here most, and the fact that there's quite an appetite among the councillors on strategic planning to have another look at the vision that is in the local plan and to challenge the government on this requirement for housing numbers. House acceptance will be, I don't know, but it helps that those housing numbers, the methodology for arriving at those housing numbers was recently criticised by a parliamentary select committee, which Ed actually helpfully brought to our attention. And he did also agree with us that the vision could be tightened up and refined. So I'm going to have a workshop to deal with that, and then we'll bring that back to a strategic planning meeting. Any other district councillors wish to say? Yeah, Maddie.
Thanks, Jeff. Yeah, there's a lot of training going on, and I'm pleased to say my chair of licensing has obviously had works with the officer, so we're having extra training on licensing because the last training we had didn't include a lot of things. And also, as a district councillor, I am watching you, Chair, as Chair of Strategic Planning, because our residents are now saying that west of the district, which is our area, East Devon, have put more development, are thinking of allowing more development. So the residents are up in arms about that, because it's always this area that takes the brunt of the building. And so I know that they are tuning in and watching what is going on. But that's all I have to say at the moment. Thank you, Chair.
They're absolutely welcome. And actually, if you look at the proposals on housing numbers, you'll find that pottery comes off a lot worse even than Exmouth. So although there is a tendency to locate towards the West End. Yes, we are the West End of the district, but when they talk about the West End, it's not usually us they mean, it's Cranbrook and that sort of area. I accept, you know, that this was universal, Maddie, and when we looked at the feedback,
history is
nobody wants development in their area, but we have a requirement from government to meet those housing targets at the moment until they change their
minds. District-wide?
Yes, but, well, we could have a long discussion about this, come along to strategic planning and Ed will explain about that, but I don't want to preempt that by talking about strategic planning in this way. Brian, if it's about strategic planning, please keep it brief.
I will keep it brief, Trevor. I won't keep it as brief as you kept it the other week, but after our 3-hour discussion, I won't go into two more lengths. I do appreciate what you're trying to do as Chairman of Strategic Planning. I do welcome the workshops. I think we're heading in the right direction. We've got a lot of support from our new leader of planning, Wendy Ormsby, and Ed Flynn is working on it. So we're all trying to make an effort to get this sorted out. It's going to be an uphill struggle, but I think there is light at the end of the tunnel, Chair. But thank you for your efforts.
Thank you. Oh, no, I'll just say the workshop was the suggestion of the Vice Chair, Mike Howard. And I very much value having him there. And what I'm trying to do is get a feel for what the meeting is saying and try to summarise it and kind of set a direction of travel based on what people are saying. So I'm not kind of trying to push any agenda of my own, but I think people need to be realistic as well and accept there is going to be some development and nobody wants to see it, so we've got to square that circle.
Hopefully Mr. Gove will make his mind up and not. He did state in public that he would stop these imposing these rigid amounts of numbers.
Absolutely. You need to talk to Michael Gove about that. And Matt knows this, that the latest iteration of the NPPF is not now due until November. I think Ed was talking about September. And it's now
does this have any relevance to this meeting?
It was reported as a district councillor's report for strategic planning.
Yeah, it's just questions on district council, but that's why I asked Brian to keep it brief, Chair.
Okay, so item 8 is to note the internal audit closure letter from Thomas Westcott, Chartered Accountants. And you've seen that, they were happy.
The only recommendation in there is that we need to pay attention to training for Charisse, because obviously Julie Gregory had, you know, 20 odd years experience. But that has been noted, and there is a training program in place for her.
Excellent. Okay. Was that the last one?
No.
Oh, no. Oh, yes. We wish to amend the terms of reference for the HR group to include 7 councillors, so it'll be the mayor, deputy mayor, chair of finance, and 4 other councillors as appointed by full council. So that would be myself as mayor, Joe as deputy, Alex as chair of finance, and then Steve Gazzard, Joy Witts, Maddy Chapman, and Tim Dumper. If I could ask for a proposer for that membership, I think I saw several hands up there, but. Well, perhaps we should have somebody who's not nominated. So,
I'm happy to propose, Chair.
Thank you. And a seconder, Graham, thank you. So, all in favour of that membership, thank you very much. And I think that's it. The date of our next meeting is the 21st of August, but as we pointed out, that's the end of the consultation. So look out for an extraordinary meeting which we'll convene and make that a single subject and just concentrate on those proposals. Thanks very much, and we've missed the town bound. I was hoping to get down there.